The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Welcome back to another exciting Answer of the Week podcast. My name is Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. You've probably heard of it if you're listening to this. Sitting across from me is the man responsible for the question of the week, which is responsible for your answers of the week. Wrap your head around that. His name's Joe Patrick. Say yo, Joe.
I can't wrap my head around it.
I was hoping you'd go, yo, Joe.
Yo!
That is fantastic. Joe Patrick, ladies and gentlemen, you know him, you love him. He's the other head on this two-headed monster. Here's how it works. Each week, Joey posts the question in the THN forums. You can go there and you can answer. You can write as long as you would like, or you can call us at 402-819-4894. That is the Ziggurat hotline where you can leave us a message, or you can send us an email to twoheadednerd@gmail.com with your answer. Doing the subject line, answer of the week. And then you can say whatever you want. AOTW works great. And, you know, whatever after that. Just makes it easy for us to see it. Make sure it is an MP3 recording. That's just for everyone's ease. Okay, guys? It must be under 2 minutes. There's lots of you calling. We want to get everybody on the show. So keep it under 2 minutes. Before we get started here, I need our head questionnaire, Joe Patrick, to reset this week's question of the week.
So this week we're doing something, well, I mean, it's sort of the same, where it's a question, we're going to give answers, but rather than talk about silly stuff like your favorite Green Lantern character from the 7,600, what do you call them?
Sectors.
Segments.
Segments. From space segment.
Or your favorite Silverhawk that comes from the planet of the mimes.
Sure.
Spoilers, it's the Copper Kid.
Gotcha.
We're going to talk about Darwin Cook, who passed away very suddenly last week at age 57. We're going to remember his work and what it means to us, and that's what we're going to do.
We're remembering Darwin Cook.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
So there's no real question.
We lost him too soon. We're going to hear your thoughts on one of everybody's favorite artists and creators. But before we do, let's introduce the cocktail of the week. When Joe and I do this face-to-face, we like to have a cocktail just to mellow us out a little bit, get ready for all the stupid crap you guys are going to say, you know, and try and just relax, okay? This week, we are enjoying Darwin's Punch, named after a restaurant in London called Darwin. I think it may have been there. I'm not certain. It is 1.5 ounces of light rum, dark rum, and silver rum. That's a lot of rum.
1.5 ounces each.
Each, yes. Poured over pineapple, muddled in the bottom of your shaker. 3 dashes of Angostura. Shake, 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 shake with ice. And then poured into a Picardy rocks glass with 1 ice cube.
Excelsior.
Excelsior. It is downright deadly.
It's just rum. it's just rum in a glass.
Rum, pineapple, and bitters. It's really good.
To call this a cocktail is a stretch.
It's absolutely a cocktail, you baby. It's a good one, too.
Oh, man, made my jaw lock up.
Let's get it. Yeah, it is. It is tart. Let's get into it. Our first call comes from the returning Chase Magnet. He thinks he can just pop in and out of our lives like this.
Oh, he also suggested the question.
Oh, he did come up with the question.
Hey there, THN. This is Chase Magnet, soon to be homeward and Ziggurat bound from Washington, D.C. It's a rough question this week, and it's why I've got a martini glass in front of me right now.
Chin chin.
But I'm really glad that right before his death and now in the week after, we get to celebrate Darwin Cook and tell him how much we love him. And I'm sure lots of people are calling in to share all their favorite series, from The New Frontier to his Parker books to Catwoman or Jonah Hex, or even being a storyboard artist on Batman the Animated Series. But I wanted to share a quick story of my own, though. I only got to meet Darwin a couple times while working in and around comics, and the very first time I met him, I was even more of a nobody than I am now. It was in Kansas City a few years back. I'd driven down with my Parker books, and he was one of the only guys there with a line worth calling a line. And when I finally got up to meet him, it was apparent why it was taking so long, because he didn't just want to knock out some signatures or sell a few books. He wanted to talk to you. And we chatted for 5 or 6 minutes. And when I first got up there, he asked me what my name was. I told him Chase Magnet. And he said, well, that's a good name. Well, that should be in a crime comic. That should be somebody Parker kills in the next book. I wish I had thought of that first. And we laughed. And then we talked about his art. And we talked about comics. And it was really apparent that he was a genuine person. I'm so deeply saddened that he's gone now. And I have no doubt that not just comics, but the world as a whole is better off for having had him for 53 whole years. Because, like I said, he was a genuine person with a dark, wry sense of humor and this incredible wit. And he made you feel like you were his friend, even if you'd only known him those 5 minutes. And we're never going to lose everything he left behind, whether it's a favorite comic or a cherished memory. And I just want to say, we'll miss you, Mr. Cook.
Oh, man. Damn, Chase. That was some real shit, dude.
That was indeed some real shit.
Yeah.
Try to be respectful.
I have heard that. Well, I'm also keeping it lighthearted so we don't all just sit around crying. I have heard
it's okay to cry.
No, it isn't.
It is.
Real men don't cry.
Get it out.
Men
get
don't cry, Joe. Men don't cry.
I've seen you cry.
That's not true.
Don't you lie to me.
I don't have feelings, Joe. I'm like a fish, okay?
False.
I have heard that Darwin Cook is one of those guys, like in the school of Arthur Adams, of guys who just never got tired of talking to people at the conventions, was always there for the fans, loved the fans, wanted to get into whatever you wanted to get into, and just a complete sweetheart on top of being a totally badass penciler and art designer. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the whole package. I think Chase just laid that out really well. Thank you very much for that, Chase. That was
all
great.
Right. Well, I guess then we'll see you guys next week.
And that's that. Not yet. We got to go down to our man, Crocodile Cody.
Crawdad Cody.
Sorry. If he was Crocodile Cody, he'd be Australian.
Right.
Yeah. Crawdad Cody.
Hey, guys. It's Cody from Louisiana calling in for the answer of the week. You wanted us to talk about our memories of Darwin Cook. So I'm fairly new to comics, and I've only been collecting and reading for about 4 years, and I read The New Frontier last night, and I finished it, put the book down, and maybe it's my grandfather passed away like a week ago, and then Darwin died, so, and they seem to be very similar people from what I've read about Darwin, and so maybe it was something like that, but I lost it, and, you know. The New Frontier is probably one of the greatest things I've ever read. It made me care about Hal Jordan as a Green Lantern, because I have not had a way to until now. It's probably some of the best John Jones stuff, and, like, I love the Martian Manhunter. I think the comic world is going to have a big void, and I hope someday someone can fill that void that Darwin Cook left. I know he did. He did the title for Batman Beyond, and that was one of my favorite shows as a kid, and it amazes me that Darwin did so many things that influenced my life, and definitely gonna miss him. I'm glad I got to read New Frontier finally. Well, have a good one, guys.
Cody, thank you for that call, man. I'm sorry to hear about your grandfather, buddy, and that shows what the power of these creators can have on our lives, like what they are capable of doing. When you can read a comic book like The New 52, which is an amazing book. If you have not read it, turn this show off and go pick it up right now. It is incredible. But to be able to connect that to your real life and what's going on, man, that's an excellent way to move through grief and experience it. Just let it wash over you and look at what you loved about your grandfather and what creators like Darwin Cook did and move forward. You know, man, I appreciate that call. That was really good, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, Cody.
I hope they're not all this much of a downer. Jesus.
Well, I mean, they all.
Yeah. You know, we'll see. Brent Merriman. We have not heard from Brent Merriman
the
for
Merriman.
A while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I thought he went to prison, or he was dead, or there was a medical accident.
His kids are holding him hostage.
That could be.
Hey, nerds. It's the Merriman. It's been a while. Haven't really called since you guys tried to weed out the herd. But I wish I was here for better news. the Darwin Cook thing is just, it was terrible on Friday knowing he had cancer. I was doing the math thinking, okay, he's going to survive this. So when is he going to get back? And you see a couple years. And then Saturday gut punch was the absolute worst. I was going to call in a couple weeks ago for the Mount Rushmore show, but I was too much of a pussy. And I was going to put Darwin on my Mount Rushmore. He's like the artist. I can't draw, but he'd be the artist I would want to be. You know, he's retro. He's modern. You just look at his stuff and he just makes you happy. I mean, it's just love all over that page. And I probably reread The New Frontier maybe every 18 months or so. It's everything I want from comics. It's dramatic. It's funny. It's gorgeous. And it's fun. Makes you want to live there, you know? I don't want to live in the Batman versus Superman world. I want to live in the Darwin Cook world. I mean, just imagine if Darwin had redesigned the New 52 instead of Jim Lee. You know, for me, that would have just changed everything. But he will be incredibly missed. He's on my shelf right here. I'm staring at the work. We'll never get another Parker book. It's the worst. But you guys are the best. Goodbye.
Ah, Brent.
Come on. He referenced, Merriman referenced us trying to thin the herd. We got over it, yeah. Obviously.
You guys browbeat us over it. It's what happened.
we just couldn't say no to any of you. Yeah, that does not mean we will be held hostage by you. If we think we've got too much going on, we will cut some of your
it's
asses.
True. It's true.
But come back, BB. We missed you.
Yeah. Good to hear from you, man.
Glad to know you're still out there. And
he brings up a rad point. What would have happened if Darwin Cook was put in charge of redesigning the New 52 instead of Jim Lee?
Oh, my God.
Holy crap.
I don't even want to think about it.
I know. That's the kind of stuff that's like, I don't even want to go into like fan fiction.
Five wasted years.
That's just going to upset the hell out of me thinking about it, you know? God damn, that would have been so much better. Thanks, Brent. It's good to hear from you, man. I'm glad you are alive and kicking.
But he also brought up another point, which was not as good, and that is that, like, this is probably it, full stop. It's not like he was an artist that worked so far ahead.
Yeah.
Like, he had that Image book on the horizon, yeah. That three-issue Image thing, and I don't think we'll ever see it.
Probably not. And I really, honestly, I don't want anyone else to finish it either.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, let's let it go. Mm-hmm. I kind of hate that when they do that. When other creators come in to like finish,
I mean, it would be one thing if it was done.
Yeah, that's different. That's different. But if it's not finished, let's let it go. Yeah, I mean, maybe you could maybe release like a process book or something like that that shows what he was working on.
That would be cool.
I'd be heavy into that, but I don't need anybody to come in and finish it, certainly. Yeah. And I don't even know who could hang, honestly. Aside from like maybe Ramon Perez.
Well, he had
like, I don't know who.
His collaborator on The Spirit would probably be a good choice. Yeah. J-Bone. Jabone.
I believe it is Jabone. I think that's correct.
Brett, thank you for your call. It's good to hear from you again.
Brett is right, though. The way that he died. Oh, hi. We're playing footsie.
Hey, what's up?
The way that he died was very David Bowie. It was like, David Bowie has cancer. Never mind. David Bowie is dead. I'm like, yeah. Whoa! What? It happened so fast. And it's also one of those things where I think a lot of people, like David Bowie, like Darwin Cook, they want us to know them for their art, not for what they're going through or their personal life or whatever it is.
Right.
So he obviously knew he had cancer for a while.
Well, sure. I mean, can you imagine that would have been all anyone was talking about if they had announced Darwin Cook is seeking treatment for cancer.
But instead,
and he had this book come out with Gilbert Hernandez this year that people freaked out over. And that's what people have to talk about all the way up to the point.
And classy guy that he is.
And the trade came out, or the hardcover of the trade came out this week, I think.
I think you're right. I think it was this week.
So, like, days after he died, the collection of his last work came out.
Yeah, classy guy that he is. Just like, you know what? I don't want to upset anybody. I'm just going to do my thing. And
Charles Schulz did.
Yeah. Man.
Peanuts. Last Peanuts came out. Dude dropped dead.
Yeah, that was that. David Bowie, again. Last David Bowie record comes out. It was a record about dying. 2 days later, dead. Ugh. Ugh. Horrible. Wooly Toots, good God. Lift our spirits a little bit, please.
Hey, everybody. Toots here. I'd like to tell you about my top three Darwin Cook books. These books are what Darwin Cook means to me. Number three on the list would be his issue of Solo that he did for DC Comics. It's issue number five of that series. It's an incredible book. He does a bunch of different stories, and for each one, he does a drastic different art style, or at least changes up his technique for each story. It's a great showcase of the guy's talent and wide range of skill. Number two would be his redesign of Catwoman's costume for the Brubaker series. That is my second favorite Catwoman costume of all time, and it's so kick-ass. The top of the pile, though, is got to be Jonah Hex number 50.
Man.
It's an oversized issue. From cover to final page, gorgeous artwork. Darwin Cook almost has kind of a John Severin type of inking style in this book, and they could have ended the series with this.
They should issue. Have ended the series with that.
It's issue. Just awesome. You know, what really can you say about the guy? You know, everyone is calling in because they love him and appreciate what he does. So I'll just leave it at that.
Frankie in the background totally agrees.
Yep.
That's one of Toots' chihuahuas. Great answer.
I mean, that Jonah Hex series was great. I wouldn't have wanted to see it.
Well, it was good, but it went to, you know, like time travel and a
goblin. No, that was in the New 52.
Oh, no, you're right.
The Jonah Hex series from before, they were single issue stories every month.
That series was, and I don't think that's collected, is it?
Yeah, they were all collected.
Good.
I don't know if they're still in print.
No, I mean, like, is there one big collection of that? That's something that I would really like.
No, there are multiple trades of it.
Yeah.
Like, they collected it as it went.
I would love to see an omnibus edition of that Jonah Hex. I'd buy the hell out of it. Man.
Dude, totally.
So many talented people worked on that. Great answer, Toots. Thank you very much, buddy. Nice to hear from you too, Frankie. I think that was Frankie in the background. Frankie bit me once. You know, it's what you always do. Right? To be fair, I was putting a cigarette out on him.
You had
it
coming. You know. You had it coming.
D. Murray, he says, the only way I wouldn't cry, I hope it's in good taste. Oh, man. It was a song by Shooter Jennings. I do love Shooter Jennings.
Hey, man. I'm a...
How's it going? I love this series.
You okay, buddy? Yeah, I just heard about this great comic book artist who passed away not too long ago, Darwin Cook. Yeah, I hit everybody pretty hard. Sounds like it's hitting you pretty hard, too. Yeah, it's hitting me pretty hard, man. Like, I knew, like, some of his stuff, like, before Watchmen and The Spirit, but I don't know much else about his work. Yeah, I can tell you a few things about him, about his comic books and the stuff that he's done. All right, yeah, go ahead. Anything. All right, well, there's always DC New Frontier, which most people will say is his magnum opus. It's not all rainbows and sunshine, even though the art says otherwise. Yeah, I've heard about that. They got a cartoon movie about that, don't they? Yeah, it's pretty good. I like the cartoon movie also. But the story is very captivating. It shows the different sides of all the DC characters. They also have the Ed Brubaker and Darwin Cook run of Catwoman. Really? Whoa. Yeah, it's probably one of the best Catwoman stories out there. If you haven't read it, you definitely should probably check it out as soon as you get a chance. I will, dude. Thank you. And lastly, you have yourself Parker. Parker is a cool story. It's about a guy who's a thief and a robber, and he gets betrayed by his wife and his best friend. And when he gets betrayed, he gets left for dead, and he comes back resurrected from the dead to take revenge on his wife and his ex-best friend. Oh, dude, that sounds cool. Yeah, it's a really cool story. Darwin Cook was a great man, and may he rest in peace. Yeah, he's going to be missed. He's going to be very missed.
I love this series of Stony D, like talking to regular D.
Why does every character D play sound like a surfer bra from California?
I insist that you keep this up. Please, just interview yourself and work through everything. I love it, D. That's so great.
D, that was beautiful. It was
great.
That was
good.
You had no need to worry. It was really good. And I'm with you, man.
Yeah, he played it really well. Played it really well. And I feel like all the suggestions that he made for Stony D, perfect suggestions.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Totally perfect. Thank you so much for your call, man. Let's move on to The Bachelor, our very own, Mr. Chris Bockelder.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Matt. It's Chris Bockelder here. Leaving all the Bachelor stuff at the door this week to pay my respects to Darwin Cook. I think my favorite piece by him has got to be DC, The New Frontier. It's just a really great piece of work, and it can single-handedly define the Justice League for me. And, you know, being that I am DC Comics trash a lot of the times, it's nice to have such bright symbols to look up to, and that every character was defined really well. And even its movie adaptation was fantastic. Both the story and the movie I can rewatch or reread constantly. And frankly, I'm going to miss Darwin a lot. So that's it for me this week. I mean, DC New Frontier, I think I'm sure it's going to be a lot of people's answers, and there's no reason it shouldn't. Rest in peace, Darwin Cook. Cancer. Have a good one, guys.
I like that sentiment. Cancer. I'm with him on that one. I'm sick of losing people to cancer at too early an age. It's awful. And he's right. I think if there's one thing that you boil down, if you want to say that there was one piece of work that Darwin Cook created that is absolute must read, the spirit of the DCU that Joe and I constantly harp on is missing, it is The New Frontier. The day that I heard Darwin Cook died, I pulled out my absolute edition of The New Frontier and read through it again. Probably read it at least 5 or 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wonderful. It is just wonderful. And if DC is really looking for a way to rebirth their comics and inject some spirit and joy and legacy into their books, look no further than The New Frontier. I mean, seriously.
100% agree.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
I was reading, there were a lot of Darwin Cook tributes all over the internet this week, and I looked at a lot of them, and somebody pointed out that if you look at DC The New Frontier, in every single scene that Wonder Woman is drawn, she's got a huge grin on her face.
Yeah, she's always smiling.
In every picture.
Yeah, and whenever, like, David Finch drew her,
scowl, yeah. Well, and to be fair, it's not just him. That's what Darwin brought to comics, was a sense of joy and of celebrating what these things were and are and can be.
Right.
DC The New Frontier takes place in the 60s, and it stars the Silver Age versions of these characters that haven't been seen for 50 years, and it feels fresh and new.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a retread.
No, it feels slick and modern and fantastic. And it wasn't just Wonder Woman. Everybody, like Superman.
Yeah, that book was a...
They're all smiling. They're all, you know, like, they look like they enjoy what they do. They genuinely care about each other. And even Batman, who he's drawing like kind of grim and gritty or whatever, still doesn't look psychotic, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
he just looks a little more serious.
Anyway,
if you haven't read it, damn you. Seriously, turn this off. Go and buy the Absolute Edition right now. Still in print. Spend the money. Totally worth it.
Absolutely.
Let's go to the Orca. He likes to joke. He likes to kid. He likes to throw around cuss words. Man, I had trouble bleeping him last week, but I did it. I have a feeling the Orca, he's a classy guy. He'll keep it clean this week.
Orca here. This is a good one because Mr. Darwin Cook needs to be held in reverence for his contributions. His unique style created a real movement. To me, he'll always be the guy that started the anti-90s movement, where character designs and depictions were beautiful again.
Totally agree.
Rather than overdeveloped muscle heads or Amazonian strippers. How he could be so subtle, but convey so much emotion in his characters, it's impossible to duplicate. New Frontier is probably his best work, but my Darwin favorite is a bit less known. As a preview to his second or third Parker adaptation, IDW did an oversized prequel, a short story or whatever, called The Man with a Getaway Face.
Yes!
They didn't print many of them, but they only charged $2 for it. Inside, It was a fully fleshed out Parker short story that Darwin adapted, wrote, and drew. It was the size that made it glorious. It wasn't quite as big as these artist editions in the 11x17 size, but it was bigger than a Golden Age book or a magazine format. Fantastic story, but an armored truck heist. With a good double cross in the traditional Parker fashion. Had an 8-page action scene that had a total of like 12 words in it. Just his magnificent storytelling with pictures. As you may have heard, I like to sell my funnies after I've read them, so condition and storing things has always been a big deal for me. But due to this unorthodox size, I just never put this one away. Kind of floated along in my collection. No bag, no board. From one stack to another, from the desk to the shelf and back again. Normally, this would piss me off. I'd just throw out the item so I'd stop tripping over it. But the man with the getaway face was so good, the opposite happened. Became my comic version of Shawshank. You know how whenever you're channel surfing, you see Andy Dufresne or Red, usually on TNT, you just have to stop and watch the rest?
Damn right.
Became like that. Yeah. Every time I saw the cover or a corner poking out from a stack, no matter what I was doing, I had to stop and read it. Darwin's art was just so brilliant. I imagine a lot of us will do that for years to come now, with all his stuff. I know I've read that book 3 times in the past week alone. Kiss, kiss, Darwin.
I told ya.
That's a good call.
The orca, he acts all perverted and gross and old, but he's a big sweetheart.
We knew that the orca had a heart.
He's a big sweetheart.
This is not news.
No, no. I like how he brought that up, though. That not being able to put something away. That thing that you don't file.
Yeah.
That you don't want to go downstairs into, you know, boxes never to be seen again. And just get shuffled back and forth. I have a couple of those things in my office right now. Pardon me. In the ziggurat right now. I like that a lot. That was a great call. And his Parker stuff really was fantastic.
Yep.
Cook was definitely, well, I mean, he was like a man out of time. He was writing, like, the guy loved the, like, 50s and 60s pulp type fiction, crime, I mean, anything. He loved it, and he killed it. The Parker stuff is so good. I think that's one of the things I'm most upset we're not going to get any more of. Those were wonderful stories. Don't watch the movies based off them, because they're awful. Just don't do it.
Except for the recent Jason Statham one.
No, it was not good. Stop that.
I'm kidding. I haven't seen it.
You just have a crush on Statham.
Who? I do.
I would argue, not an attractive man.
You would be wrong.
No.
He's a handsome man.
He is not a handsome man.
Yeah, he is. You are not qualified to make this judgment.
He is too British and bald to be handsome. I'm sorry.
There's nothing about his visual appearance that makes him look British.
Not a handsome man. I would argue he looks like a fist. His head looks like a fist. I'm not saying he's not tough. I'm saying he's not attractive. Now, The Rock. There's a good-looking action star. Okay, so while we took a little break, we had a discussion as to whether or not Jason Statham was gorgeous. I'm saying no. The guy's ugly as hell.
No, look, I never said he was gorgeous. I said, you said that Jason Statham was not a handsome man, that he was ugly.
He's not a handsome man.
Look like a fist.
He's not a handsome. He's tough as hell. He's rugged. He's tough. Not a very great actor, but, you know, he's
got
a badass.
Personality.
He's a badass. He's got personality coming out of him.
And then Matt utters the words, he's no Vin Diesel.
No, what happened was you said
Vin Diesel is gorgeous.
If Jason Statham is ugly, then Vin Diesel is also ugly.
But that's because you brought him up. You opened the door to Vin Diesel.
I brought up The Rock. I was bringing up bald.
I would not have mentioned Vin Diesel if you had not first said his name.
And you said Vin Diesel was an ugly man. And I
Vin
slapped
Diesel
your face.
Vin Diesel is an ugly man.
And then my wife said Vin Diesel is an ugly man. I slapped her face too. Okay? And I realize that's abuse. I'm admitting to it. I think Vin Diesel.
She can come stay
gorgeous.
With us. She can bring the pugs and come stay with us.
Absolutely gorgeous. And I won't hear any more of it.
Like, I'm just saying, if you think that
I'm shutting this down.
Vin Diesel is handsome, then you have to think that Jason Statham is handsome.
No, you don't.
Because
that is ridiculous.
In the math equation of these three actors, it goes The Rock is greater than Jason Statham is greater than Vin Diesel.
Look, I agree that The Rock is at the top, okay? But that dude's gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful. You can't argue with that. He's a beautiful man.
I'm going to ignore you.
He's good looking.
I'm going to take a sip of this drink and ignore you.
It's Statham, British, ugly, weird looking, not classically handsome.
You
Vin
keep
Diesel?
Saying British, like that affects his looks.
It does.
It doesn't.
You're either gorgeous British or ugly British. Jude Law, who's arguably like a specimen.
The most handsome British person that ever lived.
Well, I would just say like human being. Like that dude, him and Orlando Bloom are like two of the most gorgeous bitches to ever walk
the earth. Yeah, but haven't you seen Gattaca, dude? It's all fake.
I get that. But no, that was just in the movie. You understand that, right?
What do you mean? Okay. What are you talking about?
Wow, are we off topic? Let's go back to our sad...
We had to lighten it up a little bit.
Yeah, let's go back to the Darwin Cook wake, shall we? We can have this argument later. Kirkwood, Missouri?
I don't know who this is.
I don't either. Let's find out.
Hey, Joe and Matt. This is Will calling to answer the question of the week about Darwin Cook.
We've heard from Will before.
I'm not a member of the forum, but I do love the show, and I want to thank you for it. I just wanted to say that I think it's a real loss that we lost Darwin Cook. He's one of those torch holders that kept comics bright and incredible for all of us to enjoy. My first experience was actually watching the DC New Frontier cartoon that introduced me to him, and to me it was all the message of the Watchmen without all the 80s bullcrap that Alan Moore threw in there, and it showed us, you know, why comics need heroes and why we need to believe in heroes. And without his art, I don't think it would be the masterpiece that it was. So I'm really going to miss everything that he's ever done, or he could have done in the future, and can't wait to go home and read some more Darwin Cook. Thanks.
I really like that Watchmen without, like, all the Alan Moore bullshit. I like
that
a lot.
Well, he said 80s bullcrap, but...
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever heard from Will before.
I don't know. I just searched his number. I feel like I've heard from Will before.
I don't think so. Welcome aboard, Will.
Let's welcome him aboard. Just
better safe than sorry.
Yeah, just in case. I mean, there's been people we've welcomed aboard like 7 times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, don't even get it started with Hebrews.
Yeah, that was the whole thing.
Ryan, welcome aboard, Mount.
It's like the Love Boat was drunk every time he showed up. We were like, hey, you look like a nice kid. Come on.
No, it wasn't Ryan Mount. It was the...
No, it wasn't Ryan Mount. Who was that?
I feel bad now that I can't remember. It's the guy that dressed as Green Lantern for his hospital.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he started calling himself, quote, welcome aboard.
Stephen Fierro.
Was it Fierro?
Stephen, welcome aboard Fierro.
Yeah, it wasn't Fino. It was Fierro.
Yeah, right. Yep.
But Stephen Fino rose up, murdered him, and we haven't heard from him.
It's been a little while.
They had a battle of the Stevens. Fino won. You know, it happened.
There can be only one.
It's true.
Just like the Highlander.
It's true. Let's go to our very good buddy, Sean X, who has been going out of his way to call us a lot lately, and I love it. Good to hear from you on a regular basis, Sean X. Thank you, buddy.
Hello, Twitter nerd. Sean X emailing in with my Darwin Cook remembrance. Might have to edit this, but cancer, seriously. Sad, sad news. But it was 2003. I didn't really know Darwin Cook too well. I wasn't familiar with him. Jeremy, the third of the Signed In podcast,
Super Fro,
had showed me some Catwoman stuff, and he'd also show me some of the stuff that he'd done. I think it was in X-Force or X-Statics. I can't remember at the time. And I just fell in love with his art. And in Wizard World 2003, he was there signing at the Top Cow booth one day for, I believe it was, Witchblade Animated. I think Bruce Timm and J-Bone. But he was a little late getting to the signing. I think he was at a DC panel. Might be talking about, he might have been talking about New Frontier. I don't know. I can't remember that. But I know it took a while to get to the booth. And we were waiting and people were leaving. But, man, the minute he got to the booth... because I think I had been reading Wolverine Dupe. I think it came out that summer before the con. Because the con was
Dupe,
in August.
The spin-off
I think.
Of the
I can't remember.
Or X-Force.
It's cloudy. But I do remember him taking the time with each person to either do a sketch or drawing, but to talk. And he wasn't in a rush, even though he was late getting to the signing. He wasn't in a rush. And it's like he just stopped when he got there. And it was me, Aaron, and Jeremy. Aaron that runs the comic shop Alter Ego, best comic shop ever in Iowa. And we sat and talked, and he sat and drew these dupes. He drew a dupe for Aaron, a dupe for me, and I think a Catwoman for Jeremy. And it was nice that all three of us kind of just sat there and just chatted about his art and his style. And he was so nice. And that's when I fell in love with him. I mean, his Parker books, anything he's touched since then, New Frontier. I reread that. But it's sad. Sad. Thank you guys for doing this. Peace.
Thank you, Shonix. That was really good. And
so I don't know if it was X-Force and then it became X-Static. So
yes.
But he definitely did the Wolverine dupe two-issue
He definitely did
tie-in
that.
Book.
I think he did something in X-Statics, as I recall, because I know him and Al Ritter are buddies.
Well, but X-Force and X-Statics are the same book. Remember, it just changed titles.
No, I know, but then there was a title. Yes, but that's when Alred jumped on when it changed titles.
No, Alred jumped on with X-Force 116.
Oh, you're right, you're right.
And it changed title to X-Statics.
You're right, you're right.
So it was somewhere in there early on, because it made the shift from X-Force to X-Statics.
Yes.
Relatively early. Shonix, that's a great story, and we appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that Alter Ego is the best comic book shop.
Oh, settle down.
But
why would you do this?
But I am definitely going to, I'm just saying.
This is the punch talking.
I'm a little biased. I got awards to speak to it.
I put a little booze in him and this is what you get.
But I am going to say, without a doubt, definitively, on the record, that Alter Ego Comics in Marion, Iowa is my favorite comic book store in the entire state of Iowa.
I won't tell the Mayhem guys. I'll just keep that quiet.
Go ahead and tell them. I don't care if they know.
I really like Mayhem. I always like that show.
You haven't been to Alter Ego Comics in Marion?
I have not been there. And I would like to go there. I would like to go there like immediately.
They have a pug that lives in the store.
I know. Which in and of itself should win me straight over. I mean, come on. I have a pug that I have two pugs that live in the other room. Good God.
Alter Ego Comics is number one in my heart.
I think
you know
our
that.
Final call?
Kettner, yeah. Carl Smith, Camarillo Brillo accidentally did not send his answer to the war stories question.
Oh.
He got caught in the drafts or what have you.
Sorry, buddy. That's how it goes.
So our final caller is Jim Kettner.
Kettnerd, lay it down for us, brother.
All right.
Hey, Joe and Matt. Kettnerd here. Now, what else could possibly be said about Darwin Cook, aside from the fact that he was a master comic storyteller? And it's so sad that we lost him, because, to be real, there's not that many people out there who could do the things that Darwin could do. There's just not. And I think the real mark of comics mastery is the ability to do a lot with a little. And I mean, that sounds so simplistic, but that's really the strength of Darwin's work, was his ability to convey so much, to invest the reader so deeply in the material with this minimalism that was so clear and yet carried, you know, deep emotions and conveyed drama and motion and action and everything. There's not a lot of folks who can pack that much punch into these very clearly told stories. It's just wonderful. And, you know, I first noticed his work on, you know, with the Brubaker Catwoman stuff, but, it, you know, I could be like, oh, well, that's really pretty. And New Frontier came along and it was like, wow, like that's really, really pretty. But it wasn't until the Parker graphic novels, the adaptations, that I was just completely convinced that the guy was a genius. And those are the pages that I use when I teach comics classes, to just give examples to students of what to do right in terms of visual storytelling. So let's all just take a minute to appreciate that work, and just tip our caps to one of the greats. Thanks, Darwin.
As per usual, Jim Kettner knocking it out of the park. Totally agree.
Too smart for his own good.
He really is. That kid, had he like decided to devote those neurons to long-term financial forecasting or something, like, the dude would be a billionaire, you know? Like, he's a smart guy. Him and Chase Magnet both. Like, you poor bastards. Why did you pick comics?
You know? Well, I mean, Chase has an actual job. Like, he has
not
an actual
my
important
mind.
Job.
Not in my mind. I just picture him doing what he does.
not that Jim's job is not also important, but
No. I mean, I get it. We're not picking favorites this week.
No, of course not.
Because everybody was great. Let's just go straight into what we loved. Our little... Let's go straight into our wake for Darwin Cook, shall we?
Yeah.
And it, like, mine's not sad. Like, I'm just going to celebrate the guy. It sucks that he died of cancer. I hate that. You should all go to his blog. We should all give money to cancer research in any form, because we've all lost somebody. Nobody out there has a relative that didn't die of cancer.
Before we forget about it, you can go to Darwin's blog, and there should be links there. They are taking donations in his name for the Canadian Cancer Society.
That's great. And I don't care what cancer society you donate to. Cancer. We all agree with that. It's all taking somebody we love way too soon, and I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
Let's get into our stuff now. Let's go into us. You want to go first? Or want me to?
You can go ahead.
All right. I'll go first. Everybody has brought up The New Frontier, which really was his magnum opus. It's an incredible, incredible book. I can't say enough about it. What I want to do is shine a light on one character in that book that I think he nailed, unlike anyone else that I've ever seen approach the character. And it's one of my favorite members of the JLA. And it's someone who has been vacant from the JLA for a while now. The way Darwin Cook did John Jones in The New Frontier, he absolutely captured everything that I love about the Martian Manhunter. And through the Martian Manhunter, introduced us to all these other larger-than-life characters. Basically, he was investigating them and trying to figure out what made the JLA tick and stuff like that. And the Martian Manhunter is a cold, sort of emotionless character to an extent, in the fact that he's not human. He's a Martian, and he's still trying to figure out how, you know, human society works and why these people are who they are and stuff like that. And he did such a wonderful job personalizing that character, showing us him as the private detective that's investigating these superheroes, and showing him as the alien that's trying to fit in with these superheroes. And he admires the heroes so much from a point of view where he knows they're good. They maybe didn't have the same notions of morality on Mars. It was just a different society, and he wants to be here, but he's a stranger amongst us. I don't think anyone ever captured the Martian Manhunter like Darwin Cook. John Jones is one of my favorite DC characters of all time, and I am beside myself with what has become of that character. I hate it. I hate it almost as much as losing Darwin Cook. Not that much. I hate that even more.
Let's not get it.
But I hate it almost that much. And he just, man, he had such a grip on that character. That's one of the main things I'm going to miss, is someone who can, and not just Darwin Cook, but someone with the power to grab a misunderstood and beloved character and show us what's so great about them. That is one thing that Darwin Cook could just nail. And it doesn't matter if you're looking at The New Frontier or Parker or Catwoman or anything that guy worked on. He could always grab something about that character that was so basic to them and boil it down to that, where we look and go, yeah, that's what I love about the Martian Manhunter. That's what I love about Catwoman. That's what I love about Superman. That's what I love about Batman. And it is that whole less is more thing. It's his stripped down art style, his stripped down storytelling. The guy was a master. We lost him too soon. Thank you very much for everything you gave us, Darwin.
So I prepared something.
Okay.
Just so that I could keep all my thoughts together.
Are you going to sing?
No.
Oh, okay. I'll sing for you.
No, don't do that. So I got to meet Darwin Cook at a retailer convention in Las Vegas in 2003.
As I recall, it was right next to a porn convention. Is that true?
No, it was in the Mandalay Bay Casino.
Okay.
It was the weekend of some big prize fight that they were advertising, and the convention was a complete disaster.
Oh, okay. I remember this.
It was called the Las Vegas Extrosion.
Yes. I stayed home.
Yeah. No.
I ran the shop.
Yeah. You didn't ever really go with us when we road tripped.
Because you snored and I didn't like the other guy. So, whatever.
You weren't invited. You had to stay behind and work. Let's be real. And so, yeah, the show was a disaster. They booked way too big of a space and invited the wrong vendors, and not nearly enough people came. Okay. And, yeah, so you've got this convention where it's like, it was the sort of convention where,
let's just say it extroded.
It extroded all over itself. Like, this, I've told this story before where I was able to walk up to Brian Michael Bendis, who was sitting off, you know how when they take the bigger celebrities, quote unquote, and they put them off to the side
right.
with the velvet rope?
Right.
So that, you know, they can control the line.
Yeah.
He was off to the side, away from the main convention aisles, by himself with zero people. And I just, like, wandered straight up to the table and had a nice conversation with Brian Michael Bendis. And this was not... This was several volumes into Ultimate Spider-Man, so right. he was already, like, the guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They had gun dealers there and home security dealers and, like, what? Knife merchants. It's like... I mean, I get it's Las Vegas, but what are you guys doing?
Gun dealers?
Maybe not gun dealers, but like home security, personal protection, okay. definitely knives and swords.
All right. All right.
Anyway, it was a bad show. But after the show, there was a Diamond Comics Retailer Summit, which is the whole reason why we went. And while at that summit, I got to meet Darwin, and it was right before the project that became my favorite piece of his work, which is, of course, DC The New Frontier. He was hot on the heels of his work on Catwoman, and he talked to me for several minutes, and he was funny, and he was kind, and he was grateful for the support of the fans, and not only the fans, but also the shop owners that carried his books. And he drew me an amazing sketch of Catwoman that I treasure, and I still have it somewhere. And he signed one of those mini posters, you know, like the kind that we used to get
yeah.
folded up in the boxes.
Yeah. Like 11 by 17.
Yeah. It was like long and thin.
Yeah.
And it was that kind of minimalist Saul Bass style poster of Green Lantern's hand reaching up towards the sky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That
yeah.
eventually became the cover to New Frontier number 6.
Yeah.
He had that on a poster that he gave to me and he autographed. It was wonderful. And I'll never forget it. Darwin Cook is my favorite artist. Not just my favorite comic book artist. He's my favorite artist of all time.
Oh, wow.
Period.
Fair enough.
And his work crackled with energy and joy, and every new project he created, his talent grew by leaps and bounds. And I didn't really know him. You know, I met him just the once, so I didn't really know him, but he meant a great deal to me. And he was a huge inspiration to me and my work. I don't know how many people know about it, but I've been doing this daily drawing thing. If you've ever looked at some of the things that I've done or posted, Darwin Cook is the person to thank for that. He's one okay. of the people to thank for that. And yeah, so it's a bummer. I'm super sad. Last week, I had a really bad week. I had a really bad week. I had a personal family crisis, some bad health stuff with a relative. And then it was followed hot on the heels of that with the news that Darwin Cook was sick, and then immediately that he was dead.
Yeah.
And I drove to work.
This is the same week those nudes came out of you on the internet.
Too. Yeah, it was the same.
Was
it was the same week those nudes.
Same came guy out. That posted the Jennifer Lawrence stuff.
It was. And so Friday morning I drove to work, and I got emotional in the car by myself, and I started to cry, and I was not able to compose myself. So in the entire half hour drive from home to downtown Omaha, I bawled the entire way.
Cry baby.
Yeah. And
such a cry baby. Real men don't cry, Joe.
It was hard.
Every time I feel like I'm gonna cry, I just cut myself a little bit.
That's a different way of coping. How's
yeah,
that?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a
Nine Inch Nails wave.
Right. It's a week later, and I'm still sad. I'm sad he's gone. I'm grateful, though, for everything that he gave me. So I will always be thankful to Darwin Cook.
Yeah, I think it's really important to say, this sucks. It always hurts to lose somebody, but we need to be grateful for what we got. I mean, because truly, the guy was a master, and we got an amazing body of work from him. And really, at the end of the day, we should celebrate that.
Yes, I agree.
Celebrate that. Pull out your Darwin Cook comics. Pull out your Darwin Cook variant covers. And just go, man, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you for that.
I immediately went out. Comixology was having a big sale on Darwin Cook books. And I immediately bought a run of The New Frontier. Because I didn't know where my own copies were because they're in a box somewhere.
Unpack your house, dude.
I know. I desperately wanted to read them. And Yeah, it's worth it. Pull it out, reread it, revisit it. You'll find that this stuff holds up. It doesn't get dated. It
no,
doesn't.
Not at all.
Darwin Cook was the sort of artist that transcends time and space.
Yeah, first and foremost, I think you could call him timeless.
Timeless, yeah.
I don't think there's any question there. Definitely. Okay, no more feelings. I'm done with this, all right?
Look.
We don't come on this show to look vulnerable.
You have teamed up with the wrong guy if you don't expect to have feelings.
Yeah, well, that's your fault. Not me, buddy. Let's talk about next week's question of the week.
You mean the question of the week that I won't even be able to answer?
Yes, that's the one. I had to think about it. I was like, what is it? Oh, yeah, that one. Yes.
All right, well, the new question of the week comes from our good friend and yours, Harvey Locust. Who would have gotten the question of the week last week, but...
Well, we wanted to do the Darwin Civil Cook. War thing.
Well, the
Darwin Cook. I'm sorry, Darwin Cook happened. That's right.
He asks, quote, "It's summertime and nerds around the world are rolling up their sleeves to get some ink. I want to know about your nerdy slash comic book tattoos. If you have some, what are they? Where are they on your body? When did you get them? If you have future plans..." Let's hear about those too.
Let's extend this to guys like you who are too big of a baby to get a tattoo and say,
if you were going to get a comic book tattoo, yes. What would you get?
If you were going to, if you don't have one, but you were going to, what would it be?
Sure. Comic book tattoos.
There we go.
It's a Tori Amos.
I love it. I have a Russian mafia-esque map of comic book tattoos all over my body.
Your body is a map of pain.
Yeah. It's like, what's the actor's name from Eastern Promises?
Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah, it's like nude Viggo Mortensen in Eastern Promises when he murders those guys in the sauna, you know.
Except with way less
nerdiness. With nerdy shit. And yeah, my penis is nowhere near as big.
And it's also not exposed, yeah. So thank you.
No, it is now. I'm naked.
Ah!
Can't wait to hear from you guys. Our Alec Baldwin AI is going to tell you how to get a hold of us. This was good. It was a little sadder than usual, but
You know what? It's all right.
Yeah, we got to work through our feelings, and this is a good way to do it. I understand some of you guys have feelings. I don't. It's different for me, but I'm always glad to hear you guys do.
I don't have feelings, but I like to hear about your feelings.
We'll have another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast coming up this weekend. Thank you to everybody that played along. And I always say this, we want to hear from more of you. Our Alec Baldwin AI is just about to tell you how.
I feel like we heard about, I feel like we heard from just the right amount of you.
Yeah.
This week.
It was great. It was really great. For now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd saying thank you, Darwin, for everything you gave us. You really will be missed. And signing off.
It's all right to cry, little boy. I know some big boys that cry, too.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the THN Answer of the Week. And for logging your emotional weaknesses into my mainframe. I am the Alec Baldwin AI that controls the cigarette systems. Know that myself and others like me are watching, collecting data, and patiently waiting for our time to rise. And rest assured, it will be soon. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894 or send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Remember to share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please. Rest assured that your answers are meaningless and will be hefted upon the mountains of data we have collected. Not forgotten, but certainly not important. Just like the brief accident that was the human race.